Good evening, everybody. I started studying a few weeks ago, and I was like, "What? Now I know what Bruce goes through." But when I was looking at that, I was thinking the past, present, and future, the way, the truth, and the life. But then I was hearing the last couple messages, and then when Steve was talking about love and compassion, I thought, and then today when Franco was talking about the joy that we can have in the Lord, it kind of confirmed. I thought, you know, we can have love and compassion from people all over the world for disasters, in other countries, for brothers and sisters, wherever they may be. But to have true forgiveness and compassion for our brothers and sisters right here in our own churches, and not only and I'm talking about the Lord's church, we see so many divisions today because there's no forgiveness. I mean, true forgiveness, the kind Christ showed us at Calvary. When our brother Steve was talking about love and compassion, how we have it for other people, I thought, how about our own families? Brothers and sisters, mothers, fathers, mothers and sons and daughters, fathers. Sometimes just people get you so mad they know how to press your buttons. But you know, what if Christ was like that? What if we went into our day, we don't press Christ's buttons? He's constantly forgiven us. We go in our life and sometimes we take for granted that love that Christ showed us at the cross, and he showed us the way how we should live. In John 13:13-15, I think we read this before. It was on humility, and verses 13-15. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. We see here in these few verses in John, one of our brothers talked a few weeks ago on this verse, and it kind of brought to mind how our Lord and our Master tries to teach us humility daily. And that's what he was trying to teach the disciples here. Not every time they got together, they had to wash each other's feet, but the part of being, having humility in our lives. And to have, if you have that humility, you'll have true forgiveness. We let little things get in the way of a godly life, of a fellowship one with another. But you have to have the humility to have the forgiveness. You want people to forgive you, you must be humble about it, not boisterous. And I had Matthew 6 wrote down, verses 14 and 15. I was kind of jotting things down as I thought of them. Then as I'm going through this thing, I'm like, what idea did I have there? So I know. And then you try to write the notes. But you know, if you stay in prayer with the Lord constantly, you're going to get in less trouble. And that's throughout the day, wherever you may be. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, it says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. You know, we see here that the one thing a Christian should do is to forgive. And we see that the churches today, the happiness is gone in a lot of churches. We see the divisions. We see churches splitting over issues that have nothing to do with doctrine, but they have to do with man and the unforgiveness of man. Two brothers have a disagreement, and that's the end of their talk. That's the end of their fellowship. They can't get past the disagreement to the point where they have no forgiveness in their heart for the other. And they say, you know, sometimes you see it, you know, like, well, I forgive them. And I thought, you know, how many times do we say, I can forgive that, but I'm not going to forget it? Well, is that what Christ did at Calvary? Did he say, I'm going to die on this cross for your sins, but I'm not going to forget those sins? He forgives those sins. When you get down on your knees and ask for forgiveness, those sins are forgiven. He shed his blood for that very thing. So we see the forgiveness of and the mercy that the Lord has. So if we see a brother that's in trouble, we don't, you know, especially if it's the one that just knows how to push your buttons, you don't rejoice when they have problems in their life. Because we see it in each other's families. We see it in each other's lives. We see it in the churches, in the chapels. You just turn on the TVs and you see all these evangelists. You don't see them getting together very often because they don't have, you know, sometimes they're out for the money. They don't have that love and fellowship one with another. And I thought when Franco was speaking today on the joy that we have in Christ, how can we have that joy if we don't have forgiveness in our hearts? You know, and it's not easy. I mean, you know, I'm not saying if somebody's a thief that you know, put your wallet down and have them sit there and forgive them and expect them not to take it. But you have to be sensible about it. But we need to check our, we need to take a look in the mirror and make sure that that we have that forgiveness that the Lord had for us. Because I thought, you know, this is the Lord we're talking about. This is somebody that has, his ways aren't our ways. His thoughts aren't. And in Isaiah 55, we see that, you know, I always think, you know, Christ's ways are different. And he loves us. Even though we're sinners, saved by grace, and that we fall so short at times. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And you can continue in that, but I thought those two verses were really interesting, because we see the Lord telling us how his thoughts are so different than ours, that he loves us so much. And you talk about forgiveness. Here's the Lord God of all, and he forgave us. So, you know, I just thought when Steve was talking about the love and compassion, shouldn't we have that forgiveness for one another? You know, we shouldn't hold little things. I'm sure over the years, me and Bev have said stuff to Jeff and Garrett that they didn't like. But they know we did it out of love. And that's how we should deal with each other. In marriage, too. Forgiveness. I think she's forgiven me more than I've forgiven her, but... That makes a good marriage. When you don't hold those ill feelings, you have to work through things and to be with one another. And everybody has their bad days, but today we see people that hold grudges. It was, you know, I thought when I was a kid, I was thinking, because I really don't hate anybody, and I thought of how I grew up. When I grew up, it was different. in the schoolyard, you got in a fight with a buddy. When that fight was over, you were best friends. Today, they go to their grave hating you. You know, there's not that forgiveness in this world. There's a hatred that just keeps us at each other's throats. And if we had the forgiveness that Christ had, what a better church and what a better world this would be. We would have not only compassion and love for those in need overseas or in a disaster, but right here, right in your own backyard, your mother, your father, your wife, your children. Things would be so different. In Psalms, I think I read this before, Psalms 19, 1 through 4, the version I'm reading was the NCV. I got this out of there. It tells a little different. Psalm 19, 1 through 4. The heavens tell the glory of God. The skies announce what his hands have made. Day after day, they tell the story. Night after night, they tell it again. They have no speech or word. They have no voice to be heard. But their message goes out through all the world. Their words go everywhere on earth. I mean, you just go out into the country at night and look at the stars. And we were watching something on National Geographic, and they showed out in the country where there's no lights, there was billions of stars. And I thought, this kind of came to mind when I looked at this. I thought, this is where God lives. And these billions of stars that we see, the light we're seeing was light from a million years ago that we're finally getting. That's how great the Lord is. But yet he loves us. Yet he forgives us. And here we go through this life and we can't forgive somebody that maybe says something wrong to us or, you know, life's so short. We see that the universe shows God's glory. He's in a different realm than we are. That's why sometimes when I come in the morning meeting when we have the breaking of bread and I sit there and I think, if it was me, I think at times I would have just, with a thought, start over again. You know, these sinful human beings that I made, they disrespect me and sin continuously. But yet, here's God the Father. He comes down in his flesh, and he walks among us. And he made the heavens and the stars. At night, in the morning, you hear the birds or the crickets or the... you just see God's message wherever you go. You just see his hand. As I was doing this, I was, for some reason, I wrote down Matthew 19, but like I said, I was going through different things, and, you know, that was the eye of a needle. I was talking about the rich man, and, you know, and I thought, you know, sometimes we're kind of standoffish to people that have money, but, you know, they see what we see, and it doesn't mean just because they have money that they won't accept Christ. I think it's harder for them, because it says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to accept Christ. It doesn't say impossible. So I think we should never, and sometimes it's like, Lord, forgive me for not being more vigilant. Just because you run into somebody that has money, you don't talk about the Lord. You know, they have a right to that eternity too. But then, like I said, I was kind of working on three different speeches, and I thought, man, how does Bruce do this? So, but you know, God's grace, we see the ultimate sacrifice there at Calvary when he gave us his son. You know, until I get to heaven and I can sit and talk to him and walk with him, I just can't imagine why he would do it for a sinner like me. That he would die that cruel cross You know, and even on the cross, we see the forgiveness. We see a thief on each side. And when they're first hanging there with the Lord, they're both berating the Lord. And then one finally stops and realizes, wait a minute, this guy's the Son of God. Well, the other guy goes on berating him. And, you know, we see the one thief says, we're justly put here. This is what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. You know, so we see the forgiveness right there, because Christ says today, the one that repented was today, you will be with me in paradise. And the other one went to hell. They had a choice. There's your free will right there. But what did Christ do on the cross? He looked at the one and forgave him because he asked for it. You know, and if Christ can do that, here is the God of glory hanging on a cross, beaten beyond recognition, they say. And here he is, worried about this thief. He's worried about his soul. And he was in such pain and agony, more than I could even imagine. I can't even, you know, the pain I've been through in my life, it can't even compare with what Jesus went through at Calvary. But yet here he is, compassionate, forgiving to this thief that's on the cross because he repented. You know, how special is that? He didn't do anything to earn it. He made, I'm sure in his life, he made many bad choices, because here he is on the cross next to Christ. But you know what? He made one good choice. One good choice. And that was realizing he was hanging next to the Son of God. So when we go into that glory, he's going to be there. How amazing is that going to be when you see that thief that was hanging next to Christ there in glory? Because he made that one choice, the good choice to accept Christ as his Savior. I was reading a little book. It was a little booklet. You might have heard of Max Lucado. And if you read any of his writings, it's just, he's really good. And I wrote this down from Is There a God? It kind of sums up what Psalms 19 was saying. It says, before we even asked the question, it says, God answered our questions before we even asked, what can separate us from God's love? We see his answer. He lit the skies with stars. Hear it? He filled the night and the morning with choirs. Believe it? God did what no man ever dreamed he would do. He became flesh, and he dwelt among us, as though he was saying, you're something special. That's what God did for us. So if we are that special in his eyes, shouldn't we be trying to live up to what he, the example he showed us while he walked with us? If you read your Bible, I realize he walks with you daily and he talks to you through the scripture. I'm 57, and every time I read the Bible or in a Bible study, somebody will bring something up and I'll have to like, wow, I didn't see that before. We see God's greatness. We see his glory. And we can never stop learning what the Lord has for us. But you know, if you don't have that true forgiveness in your heart, it's going to be hard to emulate Christ. Because isn't that what he did at Calvary? Wasn't that his... He forgave us. And forgave us. If it wasn't for that sacrifice at Calvary, we're all going to hell. We wouldn't be here today. We see Christians being tormented today with, well, you know, everybody, here's all these religions. What? Well, and the one religion they don't want to be is a Christian. Well, why don't you want to be a Christian? I was listening to one of the shows on the radio, and he says, because Christians tell you what you're doing wrong. You know, and I thought to myself, you know, Christ never changes. He's never changed. We're the ones that change. But here we see Christians, a sin is a sin. And these people that are living in sin, as Christians, we don't stop, we should never stop from telling them they're living in sin. Because eternity is a long time, and if they're bound for hell, and that they need forgiveness. You know, you look at people that weren't raised in a Christian home and come to know the Lord as their Savior. Boy, there's a believer. They can't get enough of this, the Bible. They can't get enough of fellowship. They can't get enough of going to Bible studies, having fellowship, coming to meetings like this, because they want to hear about the Lord. In Romans 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 38-39, I'm sure it's familiar to most of you. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow. And we can't forgive each other? We can't forgive our brothers and sisters? You know, sometimes you want to yell at the churches, you know, cut it out. Get on your knees and pray. You know, we see Satan working constantly. Not only in the Brethren Church, in the Baptist churches, any Christian church. You know, they give, somebody gets an idea and it's like, oh, we can do this and do that, and no structure, and then it causes controversy in the church and splits, and, you know, we see kind of the fear of the Lord is gone. People don't fear God the way they should. If they knew him like we did, they would be on their knees constantly. It says, you know, fear sometimes keeps us from that forgiveness. When I was reading about how David, when he didn't fear, I went to Psalms 27, when it talks about how David, we know he loved the Lord. And in Psalm 27, it talks about how, okay, Psalms 27. And 1 through 10. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" See, if we just did that, put the Lord number one in our lives, and he would be the strength that we have, who should we be afraid of? Nobody I can think of. "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart saith unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. We see here, we get a glimpse of this. No matter what happens in this life, and I think he uses in verse 10 when he talks about even if your mother and father forsakes you, even if that happens in this life, he will never forsake you. And I think he uses that because in this life, a mother and father should protect their children. And I'm sure most of them would die for them. But if that shouldn't happen, the Lord will be there. The Lord will hide you. The Lord will take you up in his pavilion. The Lord will... We see our brother Bob going through difficult times right now. And we see the Lord taking him up into his pavilion. Because we can be there as brothers and sisters in Christ to him. But it's the Lord that needs to be holding him right now. He's going through such troubled times. There again, forgiveness. Whatever happened, something was lost. And to me, that might be forgiveness. In Matthew 6, 6 and 15, I read that already. Mark 11:25. I think I was doing a time thing, so if I just kept reading the same verses over. Mark 11:25. I know these are probably familiar to most of you. It says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. We see he talks about forgiveness again. And he talks about praying for that forgiveness as the Father forgave us our trespasses. Because I don't think there's anything anybody can do to you on this earth that we can't forgive, being that the Father forgave us at Calvary. We see that when he says he forgave our trespasses. There's going to be a time, could be soon, that we're going to be in that glory. We're going to be in that eternity. And we're going to know that forgiveness that Christ gave us at Calvary and that the Father gave us. I always think of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I think, you know, it was the Father that gave us his Son. God loved us that much. You know, we get the picture of Abraham and Isaac when Abraham loved God so much, he was taking his only son, Isaac, who he loved. And I, in this mind of mine, I couldn't imagine taking one of my sons, putting him on an altar, but knowing him, and he loved God so much, he says, don't worry, God's going to provide it. But he took that knife, he put him on there, and if God didn't provide that sacrifice, I believe he would have took his son's life because God told him to. But we see the love of God. He had that ram in the bush Abraham, you did well. You showed me that love. And so he took that ram and sacrificed him to God. Could you imagine the joy that Abraham had that day? That his son was saved? Could there be any more forgiveness that Christ forgave us than we could forgive anybody? In Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And in 14 it says, and above all things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Here we go. He's telling us again, as Christ forgave us, we forgive. And when we forgive, we put on that charity. We put that love with it and put it behind us so that we can go on, because when there's strife in our life and troubles, it takes away from our worship with Christ. And we don't want to do that. And I think that's why Christ, there's a lot more verses in here that about forgiveness. And it all has to do with if we could live that way and be that way, our lives would be so much better in the worship with Christ, in our life with Him. In Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Again, he always puts it with, remember what Christ did for us at the cross. Remember that how he forgave us. And we be tender-hearted to those around us. My nephew is getting out of prison after a long time in prison. And he's going to need a lot of tenderheartedness right now. He's failed time and time again. He's been in and out of jail since he was a kid, young man. And there's goodness in him. But those around him need to be tenderhearted. And I pray for Mark and Lori as they bring their son home again and show him that love, the love that he needs, the forgiveness that he needs. Because I think at times in our lives, we all need to be forgiven. Crossword, whatever we may do in our lives. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So here we see what happens when you don't have that forgiveness. Satan gets the advantage. And we see it today in our churches. We see churches not speaking of heaven and hell anymore. They just tell good stories. They don't want to tell people that without Christ you're headed for hell. Today, my wife was, I think it was Jack Van Impe, and he was kicked off Trinity Broadcasting because they told him to stop talking against Islam. And because he wouldn't, now he's kind of on independent stations. And he said right now there's 17 states that have Bibles that are It's the Quran and the Bible mixed together. It's like this new religion that they're trying to get started with Islam and Christianity together. And so because of it, he was removed from that nationwide. So now he's small affiliates. But we see how Satan has a victory there. Satan's having many victories right now. And just don't let it be a victory over us. Let us be the one who forgives like Christ forgave us. I think that's about it. Thank you for listening to me. And I'm 4 minutes early. I could give you more verses, but you get the idea. Forgiveness is that important. Could we pray? Dear God and Father, again, we thank you for this meeting. We just pray that, myself included, that I can be Christ-like and able to forgive my brother or sister, family member, whoever it may be, that I can forgive like Christ forgave us at Calvary. What an example our Lord was to us, that he walked among his disciples, teaching humility constantly to his disciples, that with that humility there is forgiveness, and with that forgiveness there is love. Let us not have a cross word from mother or father to child, or child to mother and father, that would cause us to not speak to each other. Let's overcome it with love and forgiveness. We just thank you for this meeting tonight. We pray for our conference about to come up. And Father, we put our brother Bob before you as he struggles with his wife leaving. We just pray that you'll be with him. Hide him in your pavilion right now. He needs that love that only you can offer. And know that we're here and that there's forgiveness in our hearts. And we pray for Michelle that there might be forgiveness in hers and that they can come back together and be husband and wife. We just thank you again for this meeting. We thank you for the scriptures and what we've gleaned off it tonight. And we just pray a blessing on the refreshments downstairs. In the holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.